This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by CruiserMax Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment for longer-lasting disease and insect protection for wheat and barley seeds, young seedlings, and roots.
We've got some cold temps coming our way to remind us that, yeah, we're knocking on winter's door. But today's guest, hey, he's already used to it. He's already had a full shot of full-blown winter.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll talk with Luke Swenson from The Money Farm. And right after the news, Todd Bubba Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com swings by. I'm Handsome Newsman Davis Michelson. And now, the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Hey. All right, Davis, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Wow. How'd the markets do today? I'll admit, I've been on the road. The last time I checked, soybeans were trying to come back and close on the plus side. Mm-hmm. Did everything hold on?
I'm afraid not. No. Corn, soybeans fractionally lower. Beans unchanged. Here's meal just slightly higher. Oil was off by about the same amount, respectively. Wheat futures, a couple cents higher in the winter wheats. Looks like Minneapolis, the spring wheats here, wound up posting 3 to 4 cent gains. So not too shabby there. Livestock side, live cattle. Well, nearby is up just 30 cents, but you get a little further out into the winter month contracts, and we're up over a dollar. Feeder cattle, pretty solid day, up over a buck in everything on my spectrum here. And lean hogs mixed, front month was about 30 cents higher. Back month down over a dollar.
Well, look at the premium that those back months are carrying to the nearby contracts, too. So I don't think that's too unexpected. But doggone it, I was hoping that I was going to feel really good about the close in the market today. Maybe Bubba would come on, make me feel even better. Uh-huh. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do it or not, because I get a couple of texts from him a day. Mm-hmm. And he's a little like, this market is going nowhere. Right. Here we go. The winter doldrums are already here, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's just not too excited about what is going on in these markets.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to get excited with fractional action.
Yeah.
You know, we're just going to have to wait and see what he says. Something will shake it loose. Something will shake it loose, Chip. Let me give you that. Does that help at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You watch the line when Bubba gets on there. You go ahead and bring him on whenever you want to. But let's get to the news.
Sure thing. Well, winter wheat futures were tethered very near unchanged for most of today's trade, but nearby contracts, as well as further deferred contracts, were able to manage a positive close, at least in the winter wheats. U.S. prices have been buoyed by rising world wheat prices recently, but wheat is likely to continue to struggle to sustain rallies until corn futures lead the way higher. Pressure on futures was limited by ongoing dryness in Australia, Argentina, and Eastern Europe, and a Kazakh wheat crop shortfall. December hard red futures 2 cents higher, 4.23 1/4. D soft red gained 2 3/4, 5.20 3/4. December spring wheat was 3 1/4 higher at 5.42 1/4. I had a bit of a negative tone on the wheats when I wrote this news a little bit earlier, but we closed in pretty decent shape.
Good, good. But you know, if we're looking for corn to be a leader of the wheat market right now, if the market's going to move to the upside, we were talking about it yesterday. It's kind of a weird balance. Wheat is acting like a leader at a time of the year when it shouldn't be a leader. Corn, it's trying to be a leader, but it's trying to be a leader right now to the downside rather than to the upside. Global wheat prices, there's a tug of war going on in there right now.
Yeah, there really is. Well, corn futures failed to hold above the 20-day moving average in the overnight session. That, along with expectations for harvest progress in the coming week due to favorable weather, limited bullish enthusiasm, as did a general lack of fresh news. Traders continue to watch for an uptick in demand and some clarity from the RFS. Meanwhile, ethanol production in the most recent report week rose 25,000 barrels per day as ethanol stocks dropped 697,000 barrels to 21.3 6 million barrels. December corn futures were 1/4 cent lower at 3.87 3/4. March corn also fell 1/4 cent to 3.99 3/4. May corn closed at 4.06 1/4, down 0.5 cent on the day. Decent ethanol stocks draw, Chip.
Yeah, certainly. Again, every time you see a draw like that on stocks, you keep waiting for some export news. That's got to be coming after a drop like that.
Yes. Soybean futures retraced overnight gains after falling short of a short-term high by just a quarter of a cent. Forecasts for colder, drier weather in the coming week also limited price strength, as harvest progress will likely intensify. China has confirmed it plans to make good on promises to purchase more U.S. ag goods, although U.S. prices are thought to be too high for Chinese importers to rush to make those buys. Recent rains in key soybean growing areas of Argentina and Brazil, with more in the forecast, also limited support. November bean futures were a quarter cent lower, 933 and three quarters. Jan beans unchanged, 948 and a quarter. March beans closed at 959 and a half, down a quarter cent on the day, Chip.
So what did your face look like when you were writing the words China confirmed that they will be making those buys?
Yeah, I had a weird taste in my mouth.
Was it all scrunched up? Kind
it was
of
uncomfortable.
At the screen?
Definitely furrowed in the brow region.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Cattle traders watching the cash market carefully for cues. Watchers are also looking ahead to this week's cattle on feed report. Pre-report expectations range extremely widely, Chip. December cattle were $1.55 higher, $115.25. Feb cattle gained $1.32.5, $120.42.5. Novi feeders firmed $125 to $144.75. And quickly, record slaughter runs have traders concerned pork supplies will begin to back up. Chinese pork prices continue to rise, lifting expectations for an eventual demand push. Reports have suggested China is contemplating dropping retaliatory duties on U.S. pork, which would pave the way for an increase in shipments. December hogs were 32.5 cents higher, 65.82.5, and Feb lean hogs softened to $1.17.5 to $75.10. Let's bring him in, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
How are you, Bubba?
I've been waiting. I got to make you feel better. That's my whole job today.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, make me feel better. You told me earlier there's nothing going on in these markets. There's no reason to even participate.
But they're holding support. The good news is they're holding support, and they should go higher. Okay, that's the good news. I think they're going significantly higher. I think that we're going to hold the support area. The only thing that concerns me is the last 3 days, the higher opens with the lousy closes. But again, there's no volume. There's no volume in any market, including equities, right now. So it's like the whole world is on pause, waiting for somebody, which means to me that we've got room to go a lot higher pretty much across the board, the entire ag space. And if the hogs can hold support here, they'll go higher with everything else. So I think we're in good shape, and I think it's going to be a good fourth quarter and a good first quarter.
Okay. Take us over to the equities here for just a bit, Bubba, because there's not – it's a Fed-driven market, isn't it? The earnings aren't really driving it. Economic 100%. Activity isn't really driving it. It's a Fed-driven market.
It's a Fed cheap money, you know. Let's try to fool the investors once again with earnings reports that beat expectations, but they dug a little hole to put the expectations, so it was easy to walk over them. Again, it's all about the Fed, and again, equities are running at about 50% or 60% less volume than normal. Okay, so this is a total snooze fest here, with no action. It looks to me that the equities have to make new highs first before we can get any real action. And I'm going to guess that next Wednesday, when the Fed, makes their next announcement, that will be the day that we might get some action. But it looks to me like we're going to be dead, which is so unusual for this time of year. But again, that's the market we have. We'll continue to trade it the way it is.
Hey, if they're bored with commodity or bored with the equities, tell them to come on over and trade the commodities.
They'll be there. They're coming, baby. That's my whole theory. I'm just a year late, but that's the theory behind it.
I gotcha. Thank you, Bubba. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you again next week. That is Todd Bubba Horowitz, BubbaTrading.com. We got Luke Swenson, the Money Farm, up next on AgriTalk.
I've got Bobby Bachman, soybean herbicide product lead for Syngenta, with me. Bobby, at this point, I think we all know that weeds are profit eaters for growers. What new tools does Syngenta have that give growers a leg up on those tough weeds?
Yeah, and so Syngenta's excited Tavian Plus Vapor Grip technology herbicide was registered this spring for use in soybeans and cotton, and it is available for the 2020 growing season. Tavium is the market's first premix residual dicamba herbicide, which offers complete coverage and ease of use for growers.
Okay, talk more about that ease of use for growers that you get with the Tavium Plus Vapor Grip technology.
Yeah, Tavium is a unique premix of S-metolachlor and dicamba, offering two effective sites of action, providing both contact and residual control to manage key ALS, PPO, and glyphosate-resistant weeds. What's exciting about Tavium is that it adds a second layer of effectiveness against tough-to-control weeds, while providing up to 3 weeks additional residual control over solo dicamba products. It can be applied as a pre-emergent herbicide, where it controls 21 different weeds, and as a post-emergent option as well, where it controls 63 different weeds.
That's amazing. I mean, you're talking about a lot of flexibility as a pre-emergent, a post-emergent herbicide. It's got to fit well into the weed management programs.
Yeah, with the increased pressure and focus on battling resistant weeds, Syngenta strongly recommends an integrated approach to weed management. That includes starting the year off strong by using a pre-emergent herbicide such as Boundary, Broadax, or Prefix herbicides in soybeans, or products such as Caprol or Reflex herbicides in cotton, and then following up with an early application of Tavium. The goal is to target weeds less than 4 inches of size, giving us strong control and the best path at prolonging this technology into the future.
All right. Learn more at www.syngentaus.com/Tavium. That was Bobby Bachman with Syngenta with information about the newest soybean and cotton herbicide from Syngenta, Tavium, now available for the 2020 growing season. Always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dalaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dalaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
You can't see them, but they're coming for your soybeans. Pythium, Phytophthora, and soybean cyst nematodes are serious threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has 4 powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo EZ nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson back in the studio. I should let everybody know I'm making my way over to Lincoln, Nebraska. It's another college road show. The 6th college in 1 year, Davis.
6 colleges in 1 year.
Yeah. Yeah.
We wondered if maybe you were a problem student after the 5th, and now the 6th. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, where do you go from here?
Let's see what comes after 6.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, maybe
either.
Trade school. Try trade school. It might be better for you.
Hey, you know? Hey, we all need more welders.
Hey, here's one. Go out and learn. Welders. go out and learn to shoe horses. Give that one a try. That,
there you go.
Worked for me.
I wonder if I could lean on anybody with some experience there.
It's an enormous career builder. I can attest to that.
That's right. That's right. Good stuff. All right. Let's bring in Luke Swenson. Luke is with the Money Farm out of Fargo, North Dakota. Luke, how are you today? It's good to talk with you.
Yeah, not too bad. You know, like you were saying a few minutes ago, it's fun to sit and talk about something since no farmers are buying anything. Volumes out of equities, volumes out of grains. Yeah. No one wants to do anything. Everyone's just waiting for the next headline.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to go back to a comment that Bubba made, and I love the fact that Bubba comes on the show every week on Wednesdays. He looks at the markets from a little different perspective than what I look at them. And he's not afraid to say exactly what he thinks. So when I hear him say something like, I expect these markets to go significantly higher, talking about the grains, on one hand, I'm thinking, okay, good, he's telling us what he really thinks. On the other hand, I'm thinking to myself, doggone it. I mean, are we filling guys up with some false expectations out there? They could go higher, but significantly higher after the move that we've already seen? I don't know, Luke. Did you get the same feeling when you heard Bubba say that?
Oh, we've been kind of in the same thought process. I like making the joke that the sky was falling with me and I've been bearish for a decade. And then the day Mike sold to me a few years back, I got bullish. So apparently that transferred in the bill of sale. But no, I like selling grain. And I agree 100% with this. You know, we did kind of three crop tours this summer and that was the whole thing. Every time we're looking at this thing, we're just trying to figure out where the math is behind it. And, you know, you look at the S&Ds already off of October where you're back down in the 400s for beans.
Yep.
60 days ago, we were talking a billion. You know, we've backed out a few hundred million bushels of China demand. Maybe they're going to back into a deal because Trump is weak, they're weak, and they see an opportunity. I can't blame them for it. I mean, like, there's a lot of, you know, it's one of the scenarios that we've been talking about since June. You know, there's four or five different things out there that can be massively bullish on an individual level. And they're all just kind of getting pushed back a little bit. So if you domino one or two of them, this thing could be wild. We're in the same thought process. This thing, our opinion, needs to keep going. But I do agree. You know, we hit technical resistance on beans. We basically pushed up against 9-month highs, you know, against those big retracement marks. Same thing on corn. Push the top end of your trend lines right up against the psychological $4 and back test 385. I don't think we need to go anywhere at the moment. But it's going to be a headline to test one or the other. I think that 384 to 395 is pretty stable, and beans bouncing around within 10 or 20 cents here is pretty sensible as well.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Interesting. I'm going to come back to that because right now I want to just get a status update of what is going on up there in North Dakota. Luke, you guys had the heavy snows not that long ago. Then the winds blew through there. It's kind of a tough situation up your way.
I'd just make the joke of imagine a dumpster with gas and a match. It's been chaos, but ironically, we came out of it relatively okay for the most part. We've got decent yields up there. We've kind of had potential all year, and you're starting to see it now. The problem is getting them out. Some of the areas that you ran into, you know, that pushed the 3 feet of snow, obviously we were nervous. But the thing was, is we never really froze through it. It's one thing if, you know, you put a few inches of snow on some beans and sunflowers, and then you freeze, let wind blow for a few days, stuff like that. But this stuff landed, and it was melting basically when it landed. I mean, even though you got up to 3 feet in some place, and it didn't really stop. So, like, you didn't crust up on a layer of beans and then fold the whole field over. There is spots that's happened. But it's definitely not broad-reaching like the snowstorm was. So, I mean, you know, Fargo, we had basically a foot. It was gone in a day. We have customers still in the center part of the state. You know, they've still been cleaning out. You drive down, heck, I drove to Sioux Falls on Sunday night, and there's still some snow in the snow banks and in the ditches and random spots there. We're chewing through it, but it's just a thing of you've got a year of moisture in a lot of places since September 1st. And that's the disaster. One of our customers made the joke that somebody, I think, buried one of the big case combines early on, tried to pull it out, stretched the frame, and the case dealer in town sold like 8 or 9 sets of tracks the next day. And that's not uncommon. We've seen lots of customers rolling and trading. I mean, you're seeing pictures of equipment buried where, I mean, it looks like a challenge to get it in that hard. And it's, you know, there's people ripping out just trying to square away ruts on fields, which I think is crazy. You know, this, you're going to get some cold weather. You'll get to freeze it out. That's coming next week, but
yeah,
we'll get it out. We're used to combining that late. We just haven't had to for a long time.
Yeah. I'm telling you, the optimism that you're showing over we'll get it out, that's been echoed by everybody up in that area. There's maybe one guy that has said that this is a disaster. We're not going to get this crop. It's we're going to leave field that I've talked to. But I've talked to 15, 16 that are just optimistic. I shouldn't say optimistic. You're confident that you're going to get that crop out of the field. I think it's a testament to the to attitudes up there in North Dakota dealing with the conditions that you've got.
Well, it's just the joke we make of, you know, we farm in North Dakota and we like to think we're tough for it. But the problem is, you know, since 09, you know, in most spots, there is spots out there. So customers that are listening, don't get angry at me. But like on a uniform scale, we haven't had to deal with an ugly winter in a decade. You know, I got married in May 1st, 2010, and I got to drive grain cart in 75 degree weather the day before my wedding. That's the only time we've ever done that. And I think you're going to see some of that follow through this year. You're going to see some spring harvested corn. Beans, everyone's a little nervous. As soon as the snow came, we had guys calling, like, I got basis contracts on and the elevator won't let me out. And we just told them, like, just calm down. This thing, you know, we're still early. For us, mid-October is still okay. It's not the end of the world yet. And if it gets to the point where you can't in and get it out, your elevator is going to have issues as well, and it's going to ripple back probably through the CHS system in most cases if it happens. But we don't see the scenario for it yet. If the Euro models hold, though, we might see a storm snooping in around Halloween, and that could stir things up if that reaches all the way down to Iowa like they're talking.
Right. Right. That could be an issue, no doubt about that. So, hey, Luke, when you get this wet up in North Dakota, South Dakota, if you're this wet in the fall, it kind of hangs around for the spring, doesn't it?
Yes, and that's the big thing everyone's worried about. There's one elevator that we work with, actually, that I met with on Monday, I think. And the statement was, we looked at how everybody pushed this year. And, you know, we were making the statements early on, take your PP, don't destroy your soil profiles, don't prep for this big winter. If it's there, take it, don't force yourself.
Right.
And now you're seeing the ripple effects come through. So, like, look at some of these smaller co-ops, what they're going to be doing. Not only did you not get the fertilizer you expected to use this year, so you're missing revenue from applications, you're not going to get the grain handle you're expecting. Farmers are angry, depressed with everything they're dealing with you on it. And then you're going into next spring that, you know, the acres that got planted, half the guys resent doing it. So they're probably going to look at, we get a late spring, we're going to say, the heck with this thing and PP it next spring, which generally, when you start thinking in those terms, the market's going to incentivize what it needs. So we'll probably get a spring, you know, we're going to push to get it done if we actually get any sort of a trade deal going. Everyone's, I think, going to want to plant every acre there is.
Right.
But, you know, like, there's a lot of that sentiment out there that's just kind of scary, where they're already ready. They're already planning to PP next spring. Just due to where it is. I mean, we've got rivers in Fargo flooding. We're in flood stage in Fargo. I think Daryl Richardson told me the forecast was, hypothetically, we're going to wind up with probably the highest fall river levels we've had in 100 years. You know, you've got dams opening up that are, like, they opened up dams outside of Valley City. They coincided with the blizzard coming, and thank God we didn't get 2 feet of snow, because imagine opening up, effectively putting rivers to flood stage and then dump 2 feet of wet snow on top of it.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it went east and dodged that, or you could have flooded half of the valley.
Holy smokes. Yeah, there are, and I mean, it's not just the big rivers. You look at some of the small creeks and streams up there that are out of their banks, that it may be the first time they've ever been out of their banks in the fall of the year up there.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. I mean, the big rivers are what everyone pays attention to.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the river bottom ground is little creeks with, you know, you've got your ditches through half a field that are 10 feet deep that just drain off in the spring, and then you plant them late. Yeah, you're not used to backlogging that with, you know, a ton of water at harvest.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, when we come back, Luke, I want to talk about that trade deal that you mentioned, because if we can get that trade deal done with China, that's going to bring that bean basis back in the Northern Plains, and it's something that's been missing. I want to talk basis. I want to talk trade. We're talking with Luke Swenson from The Money Farm. right here on AgriTalk.
Mr. Chairman, as a corn root, I speak for millions of my kind who can't be here to defend themselves. Pests are stalking our stocks and undermining our roots. But we can elect to protect with a legacy of strength. Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment system increases nearby microbial activity to help us grow stronger. That's smart. Ladies and gentlemen, please, this is a corn roots movement. Ask your BASF seed advisor about Punchovotivo 2.0 seed treatment. Always read and follow label directions.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at December live cattle futures today. The cattle market suffered its usual decline from an early spring into summer, with the December contract consolidating between $110 and $115 per hundredweight in late July and early August. But news of the Holcomb, Kansas plant fire then sent it tumbling under the 100 level by early September, at which point the market reversed sharply. Sustained cash market gains powered the rally, pushing D futures up to 114.37 at last Thursday's close. The market slipped the next three sessions, then yesterday's cold storage report indicated extremely strong September beef demand and triggered today's move to a daily high last at 115.37, a four-month high. It looks like the cattle market is going to continue climbing in the weeks ahead.
All right. Good stuff, Dan. Thank you so much. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at profarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
Then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Jim Flory. Glad that you could join us today. We're talking with Luke Swenson from the Money Farm up in Fargo, North Dakota. Before we get back to Luke, let's get a recap of what happened in the markets today from Davis Michelson.
Well, Chip, December hard red futures were 2 cents higher, 4.23 and a quarter. Dece soft red gained 2 and three quarters to 5.20 and three quarters. December corn futures were 0.25 cent lower at 3.87 and three quarters. March corn also fell 0.25 cent to 3.99 and three quarters. Just can't handle. Just can't have a four handle on the March contract there. Why? November bean futures 0.25 cent lower, 9.33 and three quarters. Jan unchanged, 9.48 and a quarter. December cattle, 1.55 higher, 1.15.25. Novi feeders up 1.25 to 1.44.75. And December lean hog futures, 32.5 cents higher, 65.82.5. That is your quick market recap. Back to you.
All right. Thank you so much, Davis. Luke Swenson is with the Money Farm up in Fargo. He's our guest today. Luke, at the end of the last segment, close to it, you mentioned that trade deal. And when I think about the area that could feel the greatest relief from getting a deal done with China, I go straight up to the Northern Plains, up where you're at, because that bean market, it is so reliant on exports through the PNW, isn't it?
Yeah, and the irony is thanks to our delayed harvest, you're definitely feeling it. We're actually, over the past few weeks, we've pushed down. We've got lots of different shuttle locations that are sub-dollar basis, some that are even pushing a dollar based off of Jan already. So you're feeling the influx coming from it already. You know, while we were sitting off at $2 under last year, you know, when the rest of the country was still kind of, you know, where the interior demand's strong, you know, we've felt it the whole way through basically for the last 24 months or 18 months. On the steel, thankfully, the late harvest has really put the elevators in a pinch as well. And as we've referenced in earlier calls, you know, no one has a hedge book on. It doesn't matter who you are, seed companies, elevators. You talk to these origination teams, and they just want to puke. Like, no one sold anything. So the irony is outside of some guys that have done a little bit of basis contracting, which generally basis contracting is at a decent point when you're doing it early, you know, everyone's kind of benefiting from this rally. I mean, if we're coming out with 850 plus cash beans in a lot of places right now, it's actually kind of working in our favor. So this rhetoric continues to heat up. I think you're going to see it ripple through. We got good yields, and we're not going to get all the beans out in a quick or good fashion either. So they need to move stuff. Hopefully it's looking up in our area and keeps piping up farther into the season.
Okay. So this phase one deal with China, let's say that it's legit.
I like how you start with the preface of that.
Yeah, let's say it's legit. What does that mean to your markets up there?
I think it's a pretty solid thing. The bigger question is it going to be more soy or corn dependent for the market? Because, you know, we've got RFS deal that isn't working out in our favor. But if we still got to push into 15 billion gallons and you shave this yield off a couple bushels and you look at how tight we were going into harvest this year across the country, I mean, you could see the domestic ethanol world getting to be the wild card in the basis bid number going into next year, because you're still going to need to source this thing up. So, ironically, his misstep that annoyed all of us in the ag world on ethanol this fall might honestly be a forgotten thing if this thing comes out a couple bushels below. So I think that's the big one to keep an eye on. But, yeah, if we're looking under the thought, you know, you sit and talk across our customers, Indiana, Illinois, Northern Iowa, Central Iowa, it's kind of uniform. We're off, you know, 6-7 bushels on an average, and you've got PP in there. You've got other issues. You know, we're doing good. We're at APH. I'd say on an average, we're probably within a bushel or two of APH, because late beans are behind, way small. Early ones are good up here. You know, who is it? Nebraska's not the monster. Kansas isn't. Like, who's the saving grace that's going to get us within that 4 or 5 bushel mark of last year? And if a few weeks, you know, a month ago, we went off and chopped down effectively last year's crop. Well, if you shave the yield off of last year's crop, that makes it even less plausible that you're going to have the yield we're expecting this year. So I think you're seeing a little bit of the cash market playing into that and trying to front run it a little bit because they feel it and see it coming.
Yeah. Okay. You know, Luke, as you were making some of your comments, I was jumping out to next spring and that decision-making process that guys are going to have to go through. There might be a scenario developing where corn and soybeans will actually have to compete against each other for some of those acres out there next spring.
Well, I'm always the anti-acres fight guy, because my statement is always, remember, if one crop isn't high enough, It doesn't need to go up to get acres. The other one can just go down.
Right.
But yeah, that's the scenario. You know, like we said, we've shaved over half the ending stocks off of the soybean crop in the midst of still keeping China out of the equation.
Yep.
You know, China's feeling the pinch from this thing. And like I said, like our big statement, we've been pessimistic on a trade deal forever. And it's finally, my one statement we've been kind of hanging on is, once it looks like the Democrats aren't going to have a candidate, I think you'd see China come to the table, because I don't know about you, but I would be terrified of that guy not having to worry about a re-election and holding a trade war through it. So when you sit and look at the fact that Trump needs, you know, he needs a card in his pocket right now with the way the impeachment stuff's going, and China's feeling it, I think they see this is our advantage. Like, this is where kind of we can limp into a weaker deal, get something done, calm him down, hopefully for the next, you know, the duration until he's done, whether it's in a year or 4 years. So we're actually chipping into the side that we think it's going to be happening. You know, one of your guys was, you were joking earlier on about, you know, grimacing when you're saying, you know, China saying they're going to be good. I actually don't mind that. You know, the bigger thing's been all year long is whenever you see a tweet from Trump about a China deal, literally the first thing I tell me and Allison and crew to do is pull up South China Morning Post, see what their news says. And they're batting 1,000. Trump would say they're going to do these deals, and the South China Morning Post would say Trump wants us to do X. You know, it never came out with them leading, saying we are agreeing to soften and do this. So the fact that they're vocally coming out and saying that, and you're seeing it in their media, you know, they're showing their hand a little bit and they're softening. So I'm getting optimistic it's going to happen.
Gotcha. Man, I like that. I like that a lot. Okay.
You're welcome.
Yes. Okay. Another thing that you said just a bit ago was nobody's got a hedge on. I went to the other side of it and thinking, what about the end users in the market? Did the end users have coverage on their need?
Yeah, you sit and look at where the trades are sitting. I mean, I don't think, if you look at the livestock market, these guys have been more proactive. You know, our big livestock guys, they've been hedged basically starting when the spring issue started at $4, and whether they added or not or took off and played with it, those guys, I think, have held a pretty solid position for the next year, because, you know, a lot of the grain guys, we may love 2012. A lot of the livestock guys despise 2013.
Yeah.
So I think that's a lot more prevalent in their mindset than anything else. So those guys are going to be a lot quicker to get coverage on this year. And I think uniformly we've seen it. You sit and look across our cattle book, which, you know, we're a majority grain group. But, I mean, our cattle book, even unassisted by me, like they were coming out right away saying, I want to get some calls on what we look at. So we've been doing, you know, when volatility is low, we've been doing some cheap options out through winter months to try and protect against this thing. So they've got coverage in place in case it runs. And if it hasn't by spring, well, they'll gobble up their demand for the next 6 months and be good.
Good, good, good. You know, for the grain marketers, back to the grain marketers here, Luke, the common theme that I've been picking up is most want to be patient. Most want to learn more about what this 2019 corn and 2019 soybean crop is before we do more. Most want to wait and see if phase one with China is legit. They want to be patient on their marketing. Is that a safe place to be?
Yes, but then I'll put a footnote on it. I always like selling. That's one thing I always joke with Alfin. If someone wants to sell, you can tell them we're bullish, but there's nothing wrong with selling. Here's an option to re-own if we think you need to put coverage in place.
Excellent.
So we're sitting 40% on corn and beans, and we've kind of been that way since right around the spring rally. Beans we did early, corn we caught luckily, you know, the 410, 420 area we did a chunk, and we've literally sat on our hands since, done nothing else. And I'm telling guys, you know, as we got this we got solid basis up north and we're getting some beans off, take some of it. Like, I make the joke, I can handle you chewing me out because you sold, you know, 850 beans and we went to 950. I can't handle you sitting on 100% inventory and we dropped to 7. So it's the average of, you know, say you think this, you're bullish and you've got all your bushels open still for this year. Just look at the math. You sell 20% here at a profitable level, solid basis, pretty much uniformly across the country right now for harvest, which is unheard of. You know, you can go out, get a solid 20% sale on. Okay, let's say we rally a buck. Your average sale across 100% then is 20 cents from the high. Who cares?
Yep.
That peace of mind is amazing. So we're always in favor of covering. So like I said, we're bullish, but we have no shame about our 40%. And we're telling guys to make sure you make some catch-up sales here. Starting from profit is a lot easier than hoping.
I was just going to go there. And if you're not at that 40%, we're back at price levels where you should be getting to that 40% to stay current with your advice.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. I like it a lot. I would ask you for targets, but it's not necessary. I mean, you've basically told us what you think guys should be doing there, but I mean, there's still some room to the upside, but let's not get too crazy. Is that the right attitude?
Yeah, I think what you'll be seeing us say next, we got a little too greedy on wheat. We've only got 20% sold there on spring wheat, I should say. Which is a big part of our book too. And, you know, we get another 20, 30 cents. We'll add a little bit, get to that 40. Then we're going to sit on it because quality and delivery are going to be two issues. I think you're going to see there in the Minneapolis market. But yeah, if you push up against say the 405 mark in Deese, I'd be selling some calls out of the money, do some different things, protect yourself.
Luke, it's always fun to talk with you. Thank you so much for making time for us today. Really appreciate it, man.
You're welcome. You guys have a good one. Pleasure.
All right. Thank you. That is Luke Swenson with the Money Farm up in Fargo, North Dakota. Okay, when we come back, you know, we're going to try to summarize some of the things that we talked about here. And I mentioned targets. I got some targets of my own I'd like to mention.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer editor and AgriTalk market analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. Dalaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. Dalaro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. Dalaro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Les Monroe is from Macon, Missouri.
So I started in production agriculture when I was 16, started farming with my father at that time, and then started renting land on my own, and have been in production agriculture at some level ever since. I've also been involved in the seeds business and seed treatment business for the last 28 years as well. So it's important when we start early, maybe in April planting soybeans, that we've got an Alevo product on there to help against SDS in those cool, wet environments because we have no control over the weather. Right now, from what we're seeing, the Alevo soybeans that were planted early, we had a very good stand and we've got good emergence. We had less replant where we used Alevo this year. That's where we're seeing an advantage with Alevo right now because we can protect that soybean plant against SDS and soybean cysts at the same time. And that's why I really feel like over the last 4 or 5 years since we've been using Alevo, that's where we're getting our advantage in yield.
BASF, we create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions. Alevo is a registered trademark of BASF. All rights reserved.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket you spot. Miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah. That's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the new AgriTalk with Chip Flory and me, the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson.
Welcome back, everyone. Glad that you can join us today. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
Yes.
And we just wrapped up a conversation with Luke Swenson from Money Farm up in Fargo, North Dakota. Davis, I was so impressed by his attitude, by Luke's attitude early in the conversation there where, you know, it's definitely one of those, hey, you know what? We've been in this situation before. We know how to handle it. We will get the crop out this fall, winter. We need for things to freeze up so that we can go out there and really get things done. And if we don't get it done this fall or winter, we'll get it out in the spring.
Well, and I feel like that echoes sentiments that you expressed when the blizzard was on its way in. You're like, you know what? They've seen this before. They know what to do.
Yep.
Not that it's, you know, we wouldn't wish for a little bit better conditions, but
right.
This is what we have.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Okay. When I said something about targets, and I hate asking for specific targets, but the first thing that Luke went to, it made me feel so good because I think he's exactly right. He went to basis.
Yes.
He said, look at what this basis has already done. Is that one of the targets that we're trying to hit, that recovery in the basis? I think that's a great way of looking at it. Now, a couple of other targets that we should probably talk about is I don't know if we're back there in all situations. We're going to be really close in many situations, and that is that return on investment. We've had guests on in the past, and Tommy Grisafi specifically will hammer this point home from time to time that sometimes you got to manage losses. Well, after that rally that we had up to the spring highs, the summer highs in 2019, we had some opportunities to lock in profits. Well, how do you pull the trigger on it when you don't even know if you're going to get a crop planted? It was hard for a lot of guys to do that. I get that. But here we are, back up to those levels in soybeans. We're getting close to those. We're trying. We're still in the recovery mode on corn. But I wonder if because of what basis has done compared to a year ago and what that basis is offering, when you go to the cash market, we may be looking at an opportunity for a positive return on some corn as well. So use that positive return as another target. I mean, it's really, really hard to go broke making money.
As long as you can get yourself into the black, and we've talked about this before, it starts with knowing what that level is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not a magic number. It's not, you know, it's not one that you pull out of the sky. No, it's one that you sit down with a calculator and perhaps even some sort of advisor or helper. I would need a helper, some kind of, you know, somebody to help me out to figure it all in, because there's so much that goes into it. But doggone it, once you know that number, I would imagine that it takes a load off of one's mind and you can put it to work.
Yeah, once you know that number, then it's time to put it to work. That's exactly right. Good way of putting it.
Yep.
So here's a couple of other things that we could watch and target and start to check some of these things off. 50% harvest pace.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when you get half of that crop out of the field, you get to that point where, guys have filled up their bin. Now it's going to start to flow to town. So we need to watch out for that. Mm-hmm. We need to watch out for that. And I think that's a change in how in what the 50% harvest pace used to mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it used to be, well, with the amount of storage that's out there on the farm, what guys would do is would say, listen, I just need to get this crop out of the field. We're going to harvest and we're going to haul to town just as quick as we can, get it out of here, blah, blah, blah. Now it's, let's find the best quality corn out in the field. Let's go ahead and run it through the dryer. Let's fill up our bins at home and then start to move some stuff back to town. Mm-hmm. Another one to watch, 50% planted in Brazil. And what kind of conditions are they dealing with? We're not that far where we should be coming right back up on it. Trade deal with China. Trade deal with USMCA. You start to check those things off, that 50% harvest, the 50% planted in Brazil, trade deal with China, trade deal with USMCA. If the markets have failed to give you any indication that they are going to respond positively to any of those factors, and we've checked that many things off, That's another sign that, okay, the market's done everything that it's going to do. We probably ought to increase some sales and be willing to take what the market has given us here. So
for sure. Another interesting thing that he said, a comment, and it's kind of switching gears just a little bit, is perhaps China is waiting to see if the Democrats can field a candidate. Yeah. And it just made me wonder if maybe the Democrats aren't waiting on the same thing for USMCA.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was listening to a candidate on the radio this morning talking about all the things that Trump has done that they would roll back and all the things that they would reset and try to get back to where we were before. And that included NAFTA and some other trade agreements. And so maybe they're thinking, hey, look, if we can have somebody really emerge here that people can get behind and support, maybe we can continue to drag our feet clear through November and we're good to go.
Yep.
Just a thought.
Did you see that there's a new inhabitant on Chip Island with those that think that USMCA isn't going to happen this year?
Yes.
Yeah. Senator Grassley, welcome aboard. You can be the mayor of Chip Island anytime you want. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Exotic Agronomy. Now I want everyone to keep their dollar bills in their pockets while I read these. Okay. And now today's tweets. Chip, I think you were supposed to sing the theme song there.
Sorry, I missed something my cue.
At Jason Mach 1, if strippers can be called exotic dancers, then I'm going to call this exotic agronomy. A true professional seed, fert, biochar, relay cropping, respect the artistry. That's ill corn grower. My mom always said I could be anything, so I decided to become a stripper. A strip tiller, that is.
Nice.
Now back to you.
Nice. All right. Thank you so much, Davis. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Bubba. Thanks to Luke Swenson. Tomorrow morning on the campus of the University of Nebraska in Lincoln, it's the AgriTalk Roadshow.
GBR.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds.
Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of Cruiser Max Vibrant Cereal Seed Treatment, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2020. Always read and follow label instructions.